You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stop letting mosquitoes control your outdoor plans. The breakthrough bug repeller from KillTheBugs.com creates an invisible 15-foot protection zone around you and your friends. Whether it's a family barbecue or a camping trip with friends, this bug repeller from KillTheBugs.com is a must, unless you love getting eaten alive by the buzzy flying creatures. Visit KillTheBugs.com and save 50% on your purchase of the number one mosquito and bug repeller in the United States today. Visit KillTheBugs.com.
Witred! Perfect. That's it. We have the intro song. Done.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. You're surprised?
Yeah,
I am. By that answer?
I am.
I think.
You think you're good?
I'm quite sure I'm good.
We're happy to have you home. We're happy to have you back.
I think you're nervous still.
Yes.
But you don't have to be. You shouldn't be. But I wanted to talk about this.
Yes, you did.
No Trid today.
Yep, just my husband. No Trid.
Talking about grief.
So welcome back to another episode of Sheena Interrupted. Today it's not Sheena and Trid. It's Sheena and her husband, who's here sharing a little bit about his grief after he lost his dad.
I'll share a little of my story,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to share more about what I learned in the last 2 weeks.
I've always heard that when you listen to people speaking about a topic that is particularly serious or deep, it's generally a reflection of what they've been going through, their feelings there. So even if they're coming off as sharing something that they've learned or whatever, it's because it's a reflection of what they're moving through.
That's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
My dad passed away 2 weeks ago on February 14th. We're recording this on February 28th, so it's exactly 2 weeks ago. And I put up a message that I wanted to put up because it just helped me express how I was feeling. And I've never seen so many comments, so many messages, emails, texts. I guess that's understood, that when something this big happens in your life, people will reach out to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think about that. And I realized many things over the last 2 weeks. Once I got over
the shock.
Maybe I got over, I don't know. Once I processed what we were dealing with, and I was able to put to bed all of those what ifs and why couldn'ts and other questions we ask ourselves that will serve no purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got to peace with that, I started digesting what happened. But I also realized so many different things that other people are going through.
Yeah.
And that's what's inspiring this.
Yeah.
To try to continue and give a little bit of our story to the people that might be listening who are still trying to find ways to process what they're feeling.
And just so you guys know, that post is up there on his Instagram page. It's really a little capsule of what you were feeling in that moment, what you have been feeling over the last week or two. But the comments that we're talking about are right in there. You can go in and look at them. And it might help you process your own grief in a way that you didn't even realize that you needed to. That's what it did for me. Some of those messages brought me to tears hearing how much people were feeling the emotions that you were feeling and how much they had felt it. And that concept of like, I will understand you. You will only understand me when I walk in a, when I am able to walk a mile in your shoes, that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
I think that was really something that you said. You were so eloquent in the way that you described your feelings. And so people were able to say, oh, that's what it was that I was feeling. I hugged my father for the last time on Friday. His rapidly deteriorating health landed him in the ICU. So I made the trip from Boston to Bengaluru as quickly as I could. Yet within 12 hours of arriving in India, I had my father's ashes in my hands. My loving friends and family, grieving and feeling helpless from afar, called and texted to share their condolences and to make sure I was as okay as one could reasonably expect. As part of that process, some sentiments I heard repeatedly were, be strong, be brave, and hold it together. It made me realize that many still inadvertently equate tears to weakness. I promise you, my loved ones, my tears did not mean I was broken or unable to provide my family the support it needed. It's actually quite the opposite. My tears flow because my love for my father warrant them. They make me stronger. I'm hurting because I was blessed with the sort of relationship you mourn. I am brave. Brave enough to let my heart, body, and soul grieve naturally. I smile when the memories bring me back to the many good times I shared with my dad, and the tears follow as the truth sets in again. We will not be making any new memories together. I finally understand what it means to have a heavy heart. It's heavy because it's both full and fragile simultaneously. The pressure, it's pressure you feel as you recalibrate to a life without your loved one, and it hurts. But it's not broken. It is actually getting stronger. That is the last gift from your loved one, a stronger heart with a better vision of what's truly important in life. Forever grateful to be your son.
And I got a ton of messages from people saying, I was feeling that, but I didn't know I was feeling that. And it made me realize that grief is something that people just don't talk about as much. You don't acknowledge it. And it's like you said, it's something that is there. And until you've walked that mile in someone else's shoes, you don't quite understand that they are in fact feeling that way. Mm-hmm. And that struck me because it's been 2 weeks and many people have lost loved ones in those 2 weeks. And they've messaged me saying, I just saw that. I gave you my condolences. And I'm rereading your message and feeling those emotions for myself now. And it's really heartbreaking to hear. But it's also, when you stop and think about it, impossible for that not to happen. Like, people are dying every day, every minute, mm-hmm. everywhere. I don't think we communicate it as well. Maybe people do, but we don't understand it until we've stepped into that scenario.
Yeah.
And that's probably part of it. Yeah. But ultimately for me, you know, that message was written a day or two after, but those lessons have continued to come. And that was the purpose of this episode. It's not about my situation. It's not about my experience, but it's informed by it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was on a Friday.
That was 2 weeks ago Friday.
2 weeks ago Friday, but it happened on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I traveled. I left on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
I reached on a Friday
at,
you know, 2-3 a.m. By the time I got home, showered, got to the hospital, it was 4:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister traveled on Tuesday and got there on Thursday. So she had been there for 24 hours longer than I was able to make it. And I was not able to see my dad before he passed away. I was in the room outside, but I couldn't get access to the ICU. And my sister was outside. My mother was outside. She had spent the prior night in the ICU. And we couldn't quite understand why the rules had changed in 24 hours. I was upset with the people working there for not letting me go through.
Yeah. And that's normal. That's a human emotion. Like that's anybody in your situation would feel upset about it.
Maybe. I don't know. I was.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I was told that, you know, by 6:30, you'll be able to go see him.
Yeah.
And at 6:20, I got a message on my phone saying, come to the ICU, cardiac arrest. Mm-hmm. So I never got to see him. Mm-hmm. And my sister told me later how happy she was that I didn't get to see him.
Yeah.
Because he was suffering, and how her memories of our dad and my memories of our dad are going to have that key distinction between the two.
Yeah.
But it still bothered me because I didn't get to see him. And then that was one of the first things that got put to rest when we were speaking to a friend, a mentor of sorts, and he explained, and it doesn't matter what religion or mm-hmm. belief system you adopt, if you believe there is a soul, ultimately that soul has to leave the body. Mm-hmm. And he explained that the soul leaving the body can be more complex if there are attachments beside that person.
Yeah.
And the circumstances were such that none of us were allowed to be around him. Even though the night before, my family was around him. So I took some solace in that. Instead of getting upset that, oh, I should have pushed harder, I should have argued with the security, I just sort of said, okay, this is what was meant to be.
And to take that a little bit further, I've heard from other people since then that this is the case for many people that they knew, that their loved ones passed just as they went to go to the bathroom, just as they went to go make a cup of tea, just as they, you know, in that 5 minutes that they were away.
Yeah.
You hear this happening all the time.
And there's so many different examples like that. So that was one experience mm-hmm. where I sort of said, okay, for all of you out there who are upset because you didn't make it, or mm-hmm. you go to school somewhere, or your job is somewhere else, or your parent, your loved one's in a different city, there's some solace in that. Mm-hmm. You may have made their experience that much easier. Mm-hmm. For me, it was calming. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things I wanted to share. And to the point you said before about, you know, it's just, you don't know who's suffering. You don't know what their experience is like. That was on Friday. And by Monday, I sort of felt at peace, but still confused, but still uncertain about how I felt. You know, I remember waking up one morning, and this is in India, so you hear, I wrote this. I woke up to the sounds of morning traffic, motorbikes and car engines revving and horns blaring, everyone going about their day, weekend forgotten, a million to-dos to ensure a successful week ahead. Yet I'm still in bed. I'd usually be up by now going for a walk to the gym or clearing some emails. That's not happening today. It's one of the lessons I've learned in my newfound experience with grief. The emotional ups and downs we customarily feel in life are accentuated and on a much quicker time span. The memories are vivid and bring immense joy, but the pain that follows when you missed your loved one is equally steep. The higher the roller coaster raises, the more aggressive the drop. Once I accepted this is how things will be for the next few days, or weeks, or months, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I actually started sitting in the emotions. I started just really feeling that joy and the sadness, just letting the feelings flow through me. That's not something I've ever done before, but I actually experienced it. And I think that's unlocked another layer of existence for me. I don't know how else to explain it. We can feel very deeply when we actually let emotions guide the way. So for me, it was like, oh, this feels really sad. What happens when you feel really sad? Like, I just want to feel sad. And this feels really good. Like, I'm laughing. I'm remembering things. I think historically I would try to stop feelings of sadness or fear or whatever. But this allowed me to just dive in. And I think that helped. Like, it really helped in a way that I can't quite express, but it's really helped me feel better about the whole situation.
Were you able to see it on your hand, in your palm?
I can't hallucinate yet. I'm still waiting to unlock that, but I haven't received that yet.
I think that's what I do when I feel a feeling. I really try and picture. Look, did you put a visual to that feeling? No.
No. But I did meditate more. Mm-hmm. People hear meditation. People have different connotations for what that means. Maybe I should use a different word. Maybe I should use contemplation. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should use just shut up and sit down. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should use close your eyes and don't talk. Mm-hmm. Call it whatever you want. Really, it's experiencing what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And people say, oh, I can't sit still for 5 minutes. The thoughts that are racing through my mind, that's everybody. Mm-hmm. That's me, that's you, that's everyone. And that's the point. Just let them flow through. Let them process. Let your brain and body do what it needs to do. You just try to stay centered and breathe. Like, mm-hmm. breathe into that lump in your throat. Breathe into that heavy heart. And just feel. And that's what I did. And it helped. It makes you more compassionate, because you ultimately wake up and realize that the person who is in front of you in line, or the one who cuts you off in traffic, or the person who's, you know, being obnoxious at the restaurant, mm-hmm. who knows what they're dealing with? Mm-hmm. That security guard surely thought I was obnoxious, mm-hmm. right? And the person cutting me off in traffic might be racing to the hospital because their child is sick. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I want to think that way more now. That was one of my takeaways. And a lot of people message me with things like, oh, you're lucky, you had a really special father, you know, the underlying current being they're not as lucky. And I wanted to also share, my father was not special to the world. He was special to me. He was special to our family. Your father is special to you and to your family. You may not see it today. There may be flaws. There are different things that we experience in life. But I can tell you that does not in any way diminish the contributions to who you are. Your fathers can be good, they can be bad, they still contribute to who you are. And I just hope for the people who are listening that you realize that before it's too late. Because my father and I got closer and closer as time went by, mm-hmm. but it wasn't the sort of relationship I'm trying to cultivate with my son today.
Right.
But the reason I'm cultivating the relationship I'm cultivating now is because I learned from mine.
Yeah.
And I was grateful for that. And I was able to create that later in life.
Yeah.
So if you want to be the person that takes that first step, you can. At least that's my belief. So hopefully there are people out there that are hearing this and are moved by it to reestablish relationships with loved ones or better those relationships, because I truly believe it's never too late to do anything like that. How did I do that?
Yeah.
For a milestone birthday some years back, you sent me on a scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
One of the things I had to do was write a couple of letters of gratitude to people that really impacted my life. And one of the recipients of those letters was my dad. And I wrote this letter when I was in India last in August, and I gave it to him. And in that letter, I expressed how I felt, and I expressed how he contributed to who I am today. And, you know, I just sort of tried my best to allow him to appreciate the beautiful life that we all are living in our homes and in my sister's homes, and the impact he had on that. And I don't think he quite appreciated that before he got the letter. Mm-hmm. So there was sort of, you know, another level of pride and joy that he got to experience just a few months before he passed. And I imagine I'd given him that years ago. You can do that. Lift someone today. Don't wait.
And can I ask you a question? How did you feel when you gave him that letter and you saw him reading that?
I felt great. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
Like it's another win-win.
That's the thing. It's like if you're listening and if you think that you can't do that or it's not going to bring you any benefit or any joy, that there is joy that can, you are really, really happy even in your own mind and heart after giving him that letter.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the craziest part was when I was cleaning out his drawers, that letter was there. It was saved along with some silly poems my sister and I had given him when we were teenagers. Those are the things that people keep. That's what shapes relationships. And you can do that in an hour, right? These are the things that every parent has in a drawer. Like the Happy Mother's Day card that the kid made. The kid can't even remember. It has macaroni stuck on it. But those are the things that, we keep. Yeah. And he also kept those things.
Yeah.
So I was glad I was able to do that. And
and how interesting, right, that we stopped doing that. Like we make them as kids. We write these cards, these Mother's Day things. And then we one day we stop.
We become grown up.
Busy. We get grown up.
We do our own things. Yeah. So for me, that's another, you know, hand of grace that I look back at and I say, I got to say everything I wanted to say. I got to feel that joy of seeing a father's pride for his contributions to where his kids have reached today. And I got to say thank you for that, for those sacrifices. I don't know how I would have felt right now if I didn't get to say those things.
Right.
And we also were blessed. We all went to India in December.
Yeah.
So we celebrated him. We celebrated together as a family. We knew this was coming. He had stage 4 cancer. Like, there's no recovery from this. There's just how long do you have?
And how good can you make it?
Yeah. And we took the decision to spend the holiday together, taking all of our family, sister's family, all to India. Because travel for him became impossible.
Yeah.
And 6 weeks after we left, he left the world. Like, that's grace. There's you don't get to orchestrate things like this. So in my anger and in my frustration, all of these thoughts kept coming back. And ultimately, I found myself pulled more towards a side of gratitude than anything else.
Yeah.
So, you know, what else did I learn through this process? It took me 2 hours to go through all of his clothes. In 2 hours, I'd taken everything out and put it in a donate pile or in a, you know, throwaway pile. 2 hours. You think about the amount of clothes and the amount of accessories and this and that that we all have and the amount of time and effort and energy we put into it.
Into accumulating it.
It's going to take someone less than 2 hours to get rid of all of these things. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to care about it.
And what did you care about?
For me and my sister,
yeah,
it was...
I love what you brought back.
The things that just connected with us, right? My dad was in pajamas for a year. And long before that.
Yes.
He loved pajamas.
Yes.
So I grab a couple of pairs of pajamas. Because I'm like, that's what reminds me of him.
Your
right?
Pajamas have an entire zoo on them.
Yes, you bought those for him. So you know. And he wore Aramis, which is cologne, and he had 2 bottles left, and my sister took one and I took one.
Yeah.
And he had this jacket he would wear all the time, which my sister took, and then there was this zip-up hoodie that I took. It's all about the memories. It's not the there's stuff. Nothing of yeah. You know, it wasn't like, oh, does he have this brand, that brand. We couldn't have cared less about those things. They were all donated and given away to other people there who wanted them. What we took back were those memories. That's what we wanted. You know, I'm not saying don't enjoy these things, just saying don't let your life be about these things, because they really are just going to disappear at some point. You know, for me, it's more about if you link these things to some sort of a milestone or a highlight. You really love to get a bracelet or you want to get a watch or something. Attach it to a memory, attach it to a moment, because then you will actually have something worthy of keeping versus just having it because it was advertised and you said, oh, okay, this is great. My friend has this bag. I want this bag.
Sure.
And that was another lesson learned very quickly when I was taking these things and just saying, okay, junk, give away, donate, who wants this? It all goes very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Be strong doesn't mean don't cry. There's a lot of cathartic feelings from tears. And there is this, I don't even know where it comes from. It makes no sense to me. Some link, some relationship between weakness and tears.
Mm-hmm.
That's complete garbage. Like, that makes no sense. If you feel like tearing up, you tear up. If that's how your emotions are being expressed, let them be expressed.
Yeah. And I think that that's really important for your kids to see too, as you're moving through these emotions. You know, when the kids were little, I remember I'm a crier. And when the kids were little, I would try and hide those tears. And as they got older, I realized that it's okay for them to see it once in a while, because it's okay for them to understand that it's not a sign of weakness. And when they saw you crying, I think that was really a powerful thing for them to see, that this is how you're processing this feeling of grief in this moment.
And let them speak also.
Yeah.
I think people leave, particularly younger kids, aside when they're dealing with something like this.
Yeah.
Those children are processing this for the first time for many of them.
Yeah.
And they need a space to share what they're feeling. They need to understand what's happening, because they don't know what they're feeling.
Yeah.
So I had good conversations with both of them. When I got back, I know you had good conversations with them here while I was away.
And the other thing I learned is that everybody processes their grief in different ways. And I guess it also depends on how old you are. It depends what you're moving through. But they both had big feelings the night that we found out. And the next day, or that night when we were talking about what they wanted to do the next day, Zara said, can I go to school? And I said, absolutely, you can go to school. If you want to go to school, you may go. And Jay said, I don't want to go to school. So one of our kids went to school the next day and one of our kids stayed home and sat on the couch and read a book with me pretty much all day.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he still doesn't understand why he sat at home, mm-hmm, and why he wanted to read a book.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something beautiful about the fact that this is the first loss that he's ever experienced in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something sad and just real that he's going to experience a lot of losses in his life.
Yeah.
You know, you start, it's like an hourglass. You start the world, you start your journey in this world. And if you're lucky, you have two parents, four grandparents. You have a support system of like six elders to look up to.
Mm-hmm.
I had five. You had six.
I had seven.
You had seven, yeah. You had also your aunt that was living with you. But you start your life and you see all these people, right? And then the concept of death is not something you don't even have to understand. You don't think about it. But today, I have one,
mm-hmm,
right? I have my mom left. That's it. Everyone else is gone. And over the years, you think you understand grief, you think you understand what it means. And I didn't until 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand any of what I'm talking to you about.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't me trying to be a scholar on these things. This is me just sharing my own experience, mm-hmm, thinking I knew what it felt like, but it didn't actually hit,
mm-hmm,
until it was my father.
Right.
Right. It hit in minor doses with grandparents, and you can sort of, you know, disconnect here and there, and you think you're experiencing it, but nothing has felt like this
right
before.
Right.
And I was explaining that to Jay. I was like, we will lose people along the way, right? Like, you had six, now you have five, because your one grandparent is no more. I'm down to one, right? I have one mom. But what makes it beautiful is I didn't have mama, I didn't have you, I didn't have Zara. So I actually have four now, right? My support system's also growing. I'm not just losing it, it's also growing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Dadu, your grandfather, he had me, he had your aunt, he had your mom, your uncle, four grandkids. Like, mm-hmm. his support structure was even better when he passed away,
mm-hmm.
than before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a gift. That's mm-hmm. a beautiful life. If you look at it that way, you have all of this additional love around you,
yeah,
which he didn't start his life with.
Yeah.
So I think that's another context that I didn't necessarily have. And I think about my mom, who has no, you know, she has her siblings,
mm-hmm.
but there's no one older in terms of parents or grandparents, obviously, and now her spouse. But what she does have is us.
Mm-hmm.
She has the grandkids and, like, both kids, full families, right? And that's, I think that's strong.
Yeah.
I think this brings you closer as a family. I think it brought my sister and I closer, my brother-in-law and I closer, my aunts, my mom. The only one I don't think I grew closer to through this process is you. I just increased my appreciation because I think we're already close. Like, this is where you realize where your, you know, relationships can be stronger. I didn't feel that. Like, I didn't feel like, oh, I need to go home and mend my relationship. So there's more gratitude there of, like, I have a very strong relationship, which not everyone has. But that appreciation came from losing someone.
Yeah.
So that was another gift. These are all gifts after passing, you know, mm-hmm. like forcing me to go through and process these things.
Yeah.
And that was another one. I was like, how many people can say that? How many people can say they are going through life with someone who they fight with and joke with and, you know, life with, get annoyed by, they annoy them. But when it comes to the core, there's no issue there. You know, yeah. there's no like, oh, I'd rather be by myself now. There's just none of that. So that was another pretty awesome thing for me to experience through this. And we laughed so much. My sister and I laughed so much while we were there.
Yeah.
We were hearing from people little stories. And, you know, my father was the youngest of six, yeah. and five elder sisters.
Yeah.
So all of them married with kids who are all, you know, themselves grown now and grandparents in many instances. And yeah. my cousins are almost all older than me. And it's just amazing to hear stories from when they were children and to hear about the debauchery that they would get into. and we really realized he was like
the cool uncle.
He didn't judge anyone.
No.
They could get in trouble. He loved them the same. If yeah. they wanted to do something stupid, he'd help them figure it out.
Drive the getaway car.
Yeah, just, and it was like amazing to hear.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, good. There was, you know, the mischief, we're understanding where it's coming yeah. from. But it was very cool. And in true Melwani fashion, my sister and I were sitting, you know, and we wanted to find a way for our family to be able to get closure. We didn't do a traditional funeral. We were in India. Our family is scattered everywhere.
Yeah.
We didn't want to do, you know, like a Zoom thing. We didn't want to do any of that. Like I said, in 12 hours from landing, we'd already finished the cremation ceremony. So how do we give people that moment, right? We're realizing we're dealing with this, but so are his sisters, nieces, nephews. And we had a text chain from COVID where we had, you know, good chunk of that family were all in the thread. And my sister and I sort of looked at each other and we said, hey, what if we wrote a message, you know, and we just said, this is what he would have said. This is what we think he would have said to all of us. And my sister and I had this whole conversation about, you know, if you could rewire the world, what is one change you might suggest? You know, if God had a suggestion box, what would we put in it?
Yeah.
Her suggestion was, let the soul that left send one last message.
Yeah.
To
the people that
love them.
Yeah.
And we said, okay, let's go down that path. What would his message say?
Yeah.
And we spent the next few hours crafting a message.
Yeah.
You know, and it was really cathartic for us because it really, as daunting as it might sound, it gave us the ability to encapsulate all of the beautiful elements of his life into a message.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we smirked because we realized we had a cell phone in our hands.
It was really funny.
So we went to that group and we said, huh, how would they react if they got a message from our father after he's passed?
And can I share the picture that you...
Yeah, of course.
The picture that they chose, that they sent along with this message, was a picture of my father-in-law from last year giving a peace sign.
Yeah.
Like, peace out.
Big smile on his face. And I did. We did put a disclaimer at the top.
Yes.
We put a note saying, hey.
Sending this from beyond.
Yeah. If everyone, you know, if all souls had the ability to send one message to their loved ones, this is what we believe his message would have read.
It was really beautiful.
And so we sent it. But I sent the message when I looked at my phone and I saw I had a message from my dad. I freaked out. And I was the one who sent it. But
it was really, really a cool thing that you guys did. And I think that it really did justice to your dad wasn't a man of words. He wasn't a man of a lot of words. He didn't show his feelings through even his actions. He was quiet and he was reserved. He came to life when it was just us. And you could see how he would watch, like you would see it in his eyes, if anything, how he felt. But really, you did such a beautiful job of putting it all into that paragraph. That if he were a man of words, this is probably something along the lines of what he would say.
And then it gave the family the outlet to share how they were feeling.
Yeah.
And that was important to us. And it's funny how these things go. When I was then going through just trying to make sense of all of his affairs before I was leaving, 2 days ago to come home,
mm-hmm.
I was, you know, trying to close out his accounts and things like that. And I ended up deleting his WhatsApp account.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, every group that person was in, a message pops up saying that they've left.
Mm-hmm.
And that popped up mm-hmm. in that group, you know, just a few days shy of 2 weeks after he departed. Mm-hmm. And it was unintended, but it was perfect. It mm-hmm. was like everyone got to say their goodbyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like our family members were responding to him, which was cool to see,
mm-hmm.
like that last communication. But it just, we didn't try to do these things with any intent. It was orchestrated for us. We were just going with the flow.
Yeah.
And that, I really felt like I was in the right lane. I feel like if you're in the right lane, things flow smoothly.
I think you had all surrendered. And that's how you ended up in the right lane. I often feel in these moments where things sound or feel chaotic, or they sound and feel really big, sometimes the best answer is really just to put your hands up and say, I surrender. And I do feel like we're getting pretty good at that. Just saying, all right, whatever has to happen, we accept.
Yeah. Acceptance. I told you that's my word of the year.
Yeah.
And it was tested.
Yeah.
This trip. But I tried my best to accept, and I think it's helped me.
Yeah.
And I hope it's helping other people, because there's so much grief that people don't show.
Mm-hmm.
But you can learn from it. I've learned from it.
And I think you feel better having had the opportunity to speak on it too, right? To speak about it, to be in situations where you're sharing how you're feeling. There is some of that cathartic release just sharing too.
Yeah. I don't know that I would have wanted to have this conversation. I felt good sharing how I felt that day, because it was such a new feeling, and now I feel so much more at peace that I almost don't need that. But what's motivated me was the number of people that did need to hear it.
Yeah.
And we have a platform where people just listen.
Yeah.
They're so supportive.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the number of messages I got from people who have never met me, sharing how they went through some tough times and they feel like they owe me, like they owe us. We've helped them through their hard times, and now they're seeing like one of their people suffer. I was like, you don't owe me anything. But that just felt so genuine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this outpouring of love. There are people around the globe. Maybe I have all of you to thank. Maybe they carried me through this. I don't know. But it was really incredible. And there was a woman beside me on the plane, flying from Bangalore, on my way home, Bangalore to Frankfurt.
Yeah.
I got on the plane. It said 3:30 in the morning is your takeoff time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're exhausted, right? So you get there. I get on the plane. I sit down. She's already in the seat. Just, you know, sort of nod, said hello. And I sat down. I pulled out my book. And I didn't say anything. Like, it's so late. I'm not really thinking I'm going to engage in conversation with somebody now.
Yeah.
And she did not look like she wanted to talk either. You know, I just said, it's late. She's probably super tired. And I don't know how it happened, but I think she just said, you know, where are you headed? Just some small talk icebreaker sentence. And I said, heading home to Boston. I said something like, this was an unexpected trip for me. Where are you going? And she said, I'm going to New York. Also an unexpected trip for me. And I said, oh, I hope it's
good unexpected.
No, I think I said something like, I hope it's not a bad situation. But looking at her, I kind of knew it was. And she just opened up and said, I'm going because my sister-in-law just passed away. She had issues with her lungs. She had cardiac arrest. And she just kept going through the story. And I remember feeling like, I know exactly why I'm sitting beside you right now. And we probably spend the next 2 hours talking. And I hope that she is now in New York, a beacon of crying strength and hope for that family. But it was incredible. I got to share with her a lot of what I shared with you just now, and watched as that helped this person who was otherwise torn up about the fact that they didn't go on time and, you know, what would they do? And they were so angry and all these things. I was like, I'm literally 10 days in the future from you.
Yeah.
like, you are me
10 days
away. On the 13th. Like, I'm watching you go through these steps. And it was like, it was amazing. And you talk about, you know, God or power or energy. At one point, she literally says, excuse me. She picks up her phone because her parents, her elderly parents, are messaging. And she's responding. And I said, oh, I should also see. I wanted to give you my flight details. I open my phone and I'm like, I can't connect to the internet. And I ask her, how did you connect? And she shows me. She goes, oh, you go to this page. I go to the page. It's not working. She goes, oh, it didn't work for me either. I couldn't put in the payment details. And I'm looking at my phone and I'm looking at her phone and I'm telling her, you're the only person on this plane right now that has internet access. Like, you're not even paying for it. Like, you know, that's not possible. Yeah. We were just talking about how sometimes God doesn't even bother to hide their hand. You know, it's just like, okay, you need this. We're going to do this. And you're going to know I'm supporting you. And that's it. Yeah. And I'm like, do you realize, like, I'm sitting beside you. I've just gone through this stuff. I'm telling you all this. The internet is down. You're texting right now while the internet is down.
And they're texting back.
She has connection. Yeah. And she's like, oh, okay. And, you know, obviously she's in a different state of mind. And then we all go to sleep. And then, you know, a few hours later, we wake up and she goes back on her phone and she has no internet.
It's done.
She's like, the internet's not working. I said, I told you that a few hours ago. You know, that's why I'm sharing this. I'm hoping that there are people out there who can find a way to take their emotions and not bury them, but instead live through them, to just let it out. Let that lump go away. Mm-hmm. Let your heart be heavy. You don't get to experience this all the time. Take those lessons and see how they change you. See if you can find more gratitude. See if you can find more appreciation. See if you can better your journey. I know I'm grateful for many, many things. I think I'm more grateful than my father appreciated. I got to correct that some months ago. Mm-hmm. And I emphasize months. You know, if you have something to say, say it.
Can you tell me one thing, that the best thing that you learned from your dad?
Not to be so attached to material things. Because I'll tell you a quick story.
Is it the one about the car?
Yes.
I love that story.
Yeah. my dad didn't at all understand brand value. Yeah. Like, he didn't get luxury. That wasn't a concept that he could digest. So it came to...
He knew about it, but he didn't agree with it or understand why it was that way.
I don't think he's the type of person to... He was not someone who would say, oh, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
That just wasn't his thing.
Yeah.
You could say anything and he wouldn't think he had the right to disagree with you.
Yeah.
Which, and that's another... you know, spiritual goal that people try to accomplish.
Yeah.
But for him, it was like, I have a car.
Yeah.
That car gets me where I need to go.
Yeah.
And the idea of people looking at your car and how fancy your car is just not part of the equation.
Yeah.
The company he and my mother worked at had a very, very good year. And as a bonus, he and my mom collectively... you know, got a used BMW. And this is when my sister and I were in our teenage years. So for a couple of years, we had this BMW. And as it got older, there were more problems and it ended up in the repair shop a lot. So one day my father comes home and is very proud of himself. He's like, oh, I traded in the old car because it had all this trouble and I got a new one. And we're like, wow. He got a new BMW.
Yeah.
And we open the garage door and there's a brand new lime green Toyota Tercel. And we're like, what is this? The other car would fill the garage. This car looked like it was right in the middle. Like you could fit two scooters, bicycles all around it. We're like, wait, what is going on?
Yeah.
And he was dead serious. Yeah. He was like, wait, this thing's new. Yeah. Like there's no repairs. There's nothing. It's fine.
I'm proud of himself.
And he was great. He's like, wow, look at this thing. This is fantastic. Yeah. And the three of us are like, no, we're not going to be seen in that thing. And the next day, my mom went with him while we were at school and back to the dealer. And she like attacked the dealer. You know, he took advantage of my husband. He took a BMW, gave him a lemon and or a lime. And they then came home with like a beige Mazda Protege or something like that, which is the car we had as we were growing up. We mocked him for that, right? We mocked him for that.
Yeah.
And that's so special.
Yeah.
To not actually care at all.
Yeah.
Which is a thing of beauty. Yeah. Like it really is. I think we say it. We say that, oh yeah, I strive for this, etc. Our behavior doesn't do that. Our shopping habits don't do that. Our clothes we wear and the jewels you purchase and like, all of these things tell a different... Our actions are more important than our words. And I don't know if I could ever get there. But that was very, very special about him.
Mm-hmm.
He cared about what he thought was important. And he didn't pay attention to much else.
I think you are more like your dad than you know. In all the best ways. And I didn't say very much today. This was your story, but I will leave you with one song.
Daddy, don't. What is that song that you sang with him?
I wasn't going to do that one.
The Body Shop.
Mommy don't know Daddy's getting hot at the Body Shop.
That was on your page.
That was on my page. That's not the song that I was going to sing.
What a good memory.
Yes, I love that.
What did he think was happening at the Body Shop?
Did he ever tell you? Something unholy.
Did he ever tell you?
He asked me, what are they doing there?
You had a special relationship.
I did. It wasn't one of many words, but I knew he always had my back. He told me once. He said, hey, if mom ever gives you trouble, just tell me.
Tell me. You're like, yes, you are going to do something. What will you do?
He said that very, very early in our relationship. Like, hey, she's cool, but she's like, you know, kind of persistent. If she gives you trouble, just come to me.
Tell me. Tell your parents, tell your kids regularly how much you love them and appreciate them. Don't think well, you can know that they know, but that's another win-win.
Mm-hmm.
and it doesn't matter how old they are.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if you're listening to this and your child is 50 years old. Tell them.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Daddy played piano, played it very well. Music from those hands could catch you like a spell. He could make you love him, for the tune was done. You have your daddy's hands. You are your daddy's. Have a good week, everyone.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Stop letting mosquitoes control your outdoor plans. The breakthrough bug repeller from killthebugs.com creates an invisible 15-foot protection zone around you and your friends. Whether it's a family barbecue or a camping trip with friends, this bug repeller from killthebugs.com is a must, unless you love getting eaten alive by the buzzy flying creatures. Visit killthebugs.com and save 50% on your purchase of the number one mosquito and bug repeller in the United States today. Visit killthebugs.com